Gary D. Cole grew up much of his life in Winnetka, and he became a newsboy delivering papers to that beautiful, undeniably North Shore suburb. Gary has written a book titled Newsboy, Along My Route in Chicagoland, 1968 to 1975. It's distinguished by the fact of what used to be called the Tribune Tower on the front cover. It's now called, I think it's still called the Tribune Tower, but it's now all condominiums. The news business has changed, as Gary knows and as I know. Gary, welcome to the show.
Rick, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. We have a mutual friend in Judy Royko. I'll figure out how that happened, but she's
a delightful woman.
Yeah, I do everything Judy tells me to do.
What was?
I know you've written. You've had an interesting life. You've been a lawyer for the CIA. You've done a number of things. You've written two books before this. What's the seed of this one? What is the seed? What compelled you to sit down at a typewriter or a computer or with a pen and pencil and a pad of paper and say, I'm going to go back and talk about my life, basically starting when you were seven?
The honest answer, Rick, is great pain. I had a sort of a midlife crisis in my early 40s. Mm-hmm. I left a successful law practice with two young kids at home, and I've also been a theater producer over the course
of my life.
And I decided that I was going to do my dot-com thing by capturing theater on digital video. This was in 2001. And it was like 5 years before YouTube came along, and 20 years before a pandemic
made that the business idea of the century.
So we were a little ahead of our time. Uh-huh. It blew up, and I then had an opportunity to go to D.C. to take a senior job in the National Endowment for the Arts. And it's a long story that is told in another book, but that also blew up. And so I really was at my wit's end. You know, I thought I'd had this kind of charmed life, and it didn't look so charming. And I invested a ton of my savings, and I was sort of in a bad place. And I really kind of retreated into these cherished figures from my youth as kind of a form of self-therapy.
Interesting.
That's kind of how I got to this place. And I was just trying to come to terms with, where had I gone wrong? And writing this was a way of kind of getting me out of it.
Well, you might easily say, as I might, I grew up here, Winnetka can be looked at kind of as a charmed place, can it not?
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah,
no question. No, you've won the lottery if you brought up in Winnetka. That's for sure.
No kidding. How did your family? Your dad was a doctor at Children's Memorial Hospital, which was then located at Lincoln and Fullerton. How did you guys wind up living in Winnetka?
Well, my dad was a pediatric cardiologist, a mm-hmm. children's heart doctor, and was one of the real pioneers in that field. And he did his training in California and then moved to Chicago for what he thought was going to be a 2-year fellowship at Children's. And we lived in Evanston, where a lot of young professional families just started off. And, that's where when we moved to Chicago in 62, and that's where the family started in the area. And then he decided he really liked the city and Children's and decided to put down stakes and move the family to Winnetka in 1964.
Well, I will start.
So I mean, yeah.
We have to take a break here, but I want to
live there and practice medicine there until he passed away 5 years ago.
You moved to Winnetka in 1964, 3 years later, and you write in the book, for someone my age in 1967, the best source of cash year-round was a paper route. You were compelled to take a paper route because you wanted, as you say early on in the book, you wanted money of my own. We will talk about what that paper route was like, who were some of the people you met, and some of the lessons you learned, too. I'm talking with Gary Cole, the author of Newsboy, Along My Route in Chicagoland, 1968 to 1975. He delivered the Tribune. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm talking with Gary Cole, who's had a fascinating life that started, for all intents and purposes, with him being a newsboy in Winnetka, delivering exclusively the Tribune. That was, don't make me feel too sad, Gary, here, but that was one fat, thick newspaper in those days, was it not?
Oh, man. Yeah, Thursdays and Sundays were killers. I mean, you know, and we had to put the paper together.
Yeah.
You know, stuff it. And, no. I mean, it was heavy lifting, for sure. The news stains you had on your hands and your shirts as well. So.
One of the interesting things about your book, I did not know this, during your era, you were not referred to as a paper boy or something. You were a carrier salesman, and in a harbinger of the corporatization of the Tribune, you had three areas in which to concentrate: service, which I guess is just delivering, collections, and sales. Was that shocking to you? How did that come at you? You're eight or 9 years old, and now you're put in charge of collecting for the subscriptions and trying to get new customers. How was that for you?
Yeah, I was highly, highly dubious, Rick. I mean, when I started the route, it was very simple. You know, you delivered the paper,
yeah,
and you went up to the news agency each week, and you got a stack of bills, and the news agency had to figure out how to collect from the customer. But that changed when I was about nine. And I remember I talk about it in the book. You know, they called us into, the conference room was kind of the garage of the news agency.
Yeah.
And we were all, gathered in a circle around the folks who ran the agency. And they told us, now you have all sorts of, great opportunities. You know, it was classic, American sales pitch.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea, whether my customers would come through.
Of course.
I hadn't had much, direct contact with them at all. So, I didn't know what they were throwing me into.
Gary, we got to take a break. Your phone line is going off. We'll try to straighten that out and come right back at you.
I'm sorry?
No, it's not your phone. It's your phone. It's your phone. Don't worry. Well, welcome back to me. Bear with us. We're trying to figure out the technical problems with the phone line to Gary Cole, who was just telling us about the Tribune sort of tried to corporatize, eight-year-olds by having them not only deliver eight. Think about it. Eight. It's hard enough to deliver what was in the gigantic Tribune, but they wanted them also to, collect money from subscribers. They would do the collections, and then to somehow try to get new subscribers, to solicit new subscribers. One of the underlying themes of the book is how a young boy, and I guess some of this happened to me in growing up in Old Town, too. I'm a couple years older than Gary, but reports, and Winnetka was and remains a pretty cloistered, quiet place where it doesn't seem that evil should exist there, even though it has, Lori Dan. Gary, you back on? Gary, are you back on the line?
I hope I am.
Oh, me too. Sorry. I was just talking about Winnetka being a kind of enclave in the day when you were starting your career. You write in the book, you capture it very well here too. Reports of distant evil did reach us. My parents didn't want to talk about the murders that happened with Richard Speck on the South Side. But you got your news. It would come at you through the newspaper. You didn't sit and read the Tribune front to back every day, but you, and it's unusual for a kid your age, until I started my paper route, news from the outside world of Winnetka had little to do with me. But after I became a paper boy, I felt bound to know my product. It wasn't enough for me just to lay the Tribune at my customers' doorsteps. The paper told my customers what they needed to know, so I needed to know it, too. When would you read the papers? Before delivering?
usually just afterwards.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'd gotten a really early start, and it was a, you know, it wasn't one of the heavy newspaper days, like
sure.
a Tuesday.
Right.
I would sometimes just, you know, particularly in the winter.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate, as I discussed in the book, to have, you know, mostly apartments in my on my route, and so and I could sit in the warmth and read. But no, mostly it would be after I finished my route.
Tell me about the chimneys, because one does not really think of Winnetka as a bunch of apartment buildings, but there are apartment buildings there, and you.
There are not many apartments.
You're right.
Yeah, this was quite distinctive. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Winnetka is mostly, you know, large single-family homes.
Sure.
That's kind of the stock and trade of, you know, of the suburbanite. But for some reason, some sort of Anglophilic developer in the 20s was inspired by, you know, English architecture to put in these chimney apartments. Which we were given to understand were originally, they had stores on the first floor and they had residences above. The stores were long gone by the time I came around, but they were right at the end of my street. I mean, literally, you turned out, my street was one block.
Yeah,
and the first structures you encounter were these apartments. You know, so it was a stone throw from my house.
You have a remarkable facility for. I did the same thing after reading your book. I went back to my neighborhood in Old Town. Was trying to remember the people who live there. You have a really good memory and recall for some of the people who lived in those apartments, don't you? Didn't that surprise you? Or has it you always kind of hearkened back to that time?
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. I would say I would go back to your first question,
yeah.
which was, you know, why I turned to this in the first place. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, it was like it was shifting my mind to, you know, a different dimension.
Sure.
I mean, it was kind of an out of body experience, and you know, as I said, it was highly therapeutic. I just kind of, you know, sort of, I shut out, you know, everything else, and I just kind of put myself back. You know, it was like almost being hypnotized.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I have a decent memory. You know, I think it was just an ability. It was a necessity to sort of transport myself to a different time because I was in such pain and
sure.
the time I was in.
And I'm assuming that then one memory would lead to another, and your memory would
yes.
get more expansive. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, these people were absolutely, you know, I mean, they were cornerstones of my childhood. You know, these, I mean, like, you know, I mean, particularly, I mean, there are a few people I really focus on in the book, like the Konsbergs.
Yep.
These were my grandparents. I mean, my own grandparents lived in
Cleveland.
Both my parents were brought up in Cleveland, Ohio. And so, I mean, I saw them, you know, occasionally, but
sure.
they were not, you know, daily, you know, presences in my life, but my customers very much were. So they were kind of like surrogate relatives.
When some of them, I mean, it obviously gave you, I think, the foundation for an ability or fed what was innate ability to talk to people. You seem in the book, Gary Cole, very interested in other people.
I appreciate that, but I guess I would say that to give a fair and balanced picture to your listeners, I mean, I had a job to do, you know,
yeah.
and part of my job was listening to my customers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I genuinely enjoyed listening to my customers, but at the end of the day, I had to collect from them, you know, and if listening was kind of part of, you know, of the duty. I mean, as I discussed in the book, I mean, a lot of these customers were older women whose relatives, you know, had all, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Were passed away or kind of left them, you know, aside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of the one person who, you know, was regularly communicating with them. And, you know, and I understood that at some level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I learned a hell of a lot. And
sure.
It was, you know, but it was part of my job. So,
yeah.
I mean, I need to make that clear.
Yeah, you do make it clear. We got to take a break. We're going to get some news, and then I'm going to, because you got screwed up with the phone system, you'll be back after the news. So listen to the news out of Chicago, and we'll rejoin this conversation. I will read you something that my friend, Rick Tellinger, the great sports columnist of the Sun-Times, wrote about Gary Cole's book. Like a bike ride through a turbulent, unsettling, yet beautiful landscape, Cole's deceptively simple tale of a kid delivering newspapers on his trusty Schwinn is so much more than what it first appears. In clear and concise language, the tale propels us through the awakening of a happy but innocent and unworldly boy to the cultural changes occurring around him. The world is exploding, and as the newsboy learns, so is he. The print he delivers and reads in wonder, and the people he meets and listens to on his route become an education of a lifetime. By the end of Newsboy, you'll marvel that this kid has taught you so much. I loved this book. I say ditto. Rick really did love it, and Rick knows good writing. Gary, are you planning a jaunt to Chicago at any time? I know the book is soon to be published. I guess you can get it online now, can you?
Actually, no.
Really?
You sort of beat me to the punch here.
Good, Rick. You'll have to come on again.
It will be coming soon to the bookstall, who will be our sort of primary bookstore partner on this.
Nice bookstore.
The book will be released in September.
Good.
And you know, available initially in Chicago and then nationally in October.
Well, good.
I think if people reach out to the bookstore
bookstall.
Shortly,
yeah.
they will be able to sort of tend to folks. Interest there.
Oh, fantastic. I want to get to this part. You delivered the Tribune, and then you write in the book. It wasn't until I began reading Mike Royko's column that I figured out how Daly did what he did, how he managed to get the Poles and the Italians and the Jews and everyone else in the machine seemed to appear to take a backseat to him. I came to Mike Royko reluctantly. He didn't write for the Tribune, but for the Daily News, the afternoon sister paper of the rival Sun-Times. And then he started writing for the Sun-Times. This I love, too. I love your mom. We would start taking the Daily News whenever my mother would boil over at the editorial position of the rival Tribune, which she said was too right-wing. Royko's zany parade of boasting and belly-aching characters perched on bar stools, I knew I was in for a treat when I saw Royko's drinking buddy, Slats Grobnik, had returned to the column for a visit. A lot of people obviously share that feeling. My Mike was beloved by... He was hated by a lot of people, too, but he was beloved. He was beloved by readers. How did you meet Judy Royko?
Well, I mean, Mike Royko was an icon to me.
Sure.
And, I mean, a lot of this book is the people that you had high expectations for, turn out to not be quite what they were,
yeah.
Or what you thought they were.
Yeah.
But Mike Royko was kind of my North Star. And I mean, it took me a long time as a kid to figure out what he was writing about.
Right.
But once I did, I would follow that guy to the ends of the earth. And
wow.
So, I really wanted to pay tribute to Mike Royko in putting this book out there. And, that's how I connected with Judy. And
yeah.
It's been terrific. I mean, this is one of my real idols, and that his family has been so supportive of the book means the world to me.
That's great. That's great. What do you, when you finish this book, Gary Cole, you have a website, don't you, Gary?
I do. It's GaryDCole.com, D as in Daniel.
C-O-L-E.
C-O-L-E, right.
What do you think now that you have written something? I mean, that praise from Rick Tellender is pretty amazing to me. I mean, Ricky...
I was absolutely blown away when he sent that to me, and I still marvel at it when I read it, yeah.
You ever met him?
For sure. Never.
Huh.
No, I sent this to him, unsolicited, and he was generous enough to read the book and, generous enough to offer that praise.
That's fabulous. Do you wonder and or worry that the job that you had, not the full service sales and marketing and all that jazz, that kids don't do this anymore? Because it seems to have had such an impact on you as a child.
Yeah, I do. I think it deprives our kids. I mean, I have two of my own, and mm-hmm. they never had an opportunity like this.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity to make your own way, on a limited basis in the world at in the age of 8 or 9, is a huge, in a gift. And the opportunity to interact with customers like mine, you know, who were not like the other families that I came into contact in school. You know, and were of a different generation. I mean, it just taught me things that I think, you know, most kids are not going to learn nowadays. I mean, you know, we're so sort of siloed into, you know, single families here and, you know, over 55 communities over there. And, you know, and I mean, I'm not suggesting, you know, I don't want to sound like a, you know, a crusty old guy that, you know, kids today, they don't care about entrepreneurialism. I don't feel that way at all. But I think the paper route was an avenue, you know, into the world of commerce that just doesn't exist anymore.
When it also,
you know, and I don't know what's taken its place.
And what also taught a sense of responsibility. I had also a sense of, you know, it's certain communication skills, you know, that are not all tied to one's telephone, for instance. Are you working on anything new now, Gary? You seem to have become a real writer here.
Well, I am. I'm actually. I've got another novel that I've been working on. So this Newsboy is my second memoir.
Yeah.
And I wrote a novel that kind of called Black Box, which revolves around my theater producing years. And my next work down the road will be a novel called Condo, which actually I had a lot of contact with condominiums in my legal practice.
Mm-hmm.
This was from a dispute that came out of that practice. So, yeah, that will be my next chapter.
Everything is material. That's what I say. Everything is material. Gary, I look forward to meeting you.
Right.
And I do want you to come back on the show, you know, a week or two before you come to Chicago to appear at the Bookstone. I think the world will be fairly opened up then. It will not have to be a Zoom encounter. It can be an in-person kind of thing. And I think I'd love to have you back on and talk more about your life and times.
I'd be delighted, Rick. Thank you.
My pleasure. Any fan of Mike Royko's? Friend of mine.